pulpit of the cross, our Lord spoke seven words, seven times. On this Good Friday, we look at word seven. It's recorded to us by Luke. It's found in Luke 23:46. I invite you to hear it tonight. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. Father, we ask that as we hear from this word of our Savior at the cross, that you would speak to us. And Father, I ask that you would speak through me. Lord, I thank you for the privilege it is to be able to preach your word. I thank you for those who have read it for us tonight, for the opportunity to sing a reflective song that makes us think. Speak now to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus said in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Did you get that? Luke tells us Jesus cried out with a loud voice. He's not the only gospel writer who tells us this. Mark writes that Jesus uttered a loud cry. He doesn't tell us what it was. Matthew also records it. So what is there to get, you may ask? Well, he has been on a cross for 6 hours. We already know that he was thirsty and that there was a psalm that prophesied that he would be so parched that his tongue would stick to his mouth. Prior to being nailed to the cross, he had to carry the cross. Fortunately, Simon carried it part of the way for him. Prior to all of that, Jesus was beaten. Prior to that, he had a crown of thorns pressed into his brow. He was mocked. He was interrogated publicly. He most likely had not slept. And then before we get to all of that, the Bible tells us that he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane and his sweat was like drops of blood dripping from his body as he prayed. And now, at this point in this process, now he makes a loud cry. I've been in the room when people have died. Usually any comments that are made near the end are made in a whisper. A breathy whisper, not a loud cry, not a strong voice, but yet at least three of the Gospels tell us he had a loud cry. He cries out to his Father. He calls him Father once again. In his first word from the pulpit of the cross, he calls God Father. That's when Jesus asked God to forgive them, for they knew not what they were doing. Jesus calling out on the behalf of those others who were doing this to him, he asked God to forgive them and he called out to him as Father. Father. But he departed from that warm and comfortable name when he cried out, "My God, my God." When he was forsaken by God, he cried out. He departed from the warm, comfortable name. He did not use a name of endearment, but rather a more formal address. An address from somebody who might not be as close and felt the need to use some formality in addressing somebody. Now he returns to that name that we're used to hearing from his lips, Father. We're so used to hearing Father come from the lips of Jesus that when he says, "My God," earlier, it's the only time he doesn't call God Father in Matthew or Mark or Luke. He cries out, to our God. He cries out to the one he taught us to call Father. Yes, Jesus is the one who taught us to call him Father. The example of Jesus inspires us. His example shows us that in the climax of our own crisis, in the climax of our own difficult circumstances in life, we can still call God Father. We are shown that we can be warm-hearted and familiar in our language with God. Isn't that incredible? We, yes, us, we can call out to God with a warm-hearted Father. Even with a warmthness and a closeness that perhaps a child would say to a dad today of Daddy, or a small child would say Dada. We can call out to God with that kind of closeness and warmth. We get to call out to God. Yes, we call out to God, the one who has always been. Do you remember asking that question perhaps when you were a child? Surely I wasn't the only one who asked, well, where did God come from? Well, God has always been. We also get to call out to God, the one who spoke the world into existence. Think about strength and power and might. He took it from nothing to the world in which we live. The one who did all of that work in 6 days and then he rested. Oh, and by the way, Jesus dies at the end of the sixth day. We can call out to God without the formality and properness that Emily Post would require in her etiquette book. Jesus taught us we can have a warm, close, comfortable relationship with God, with the God of the universe. Even though God is mighty and powerful and bold and strong and can do all things and is everywhere all the time, we get to call him Father. We get to call out to him and address him as though we know him. But we cannot be glib about it. We cannot act like we can be there because of how good we are. No, that won't work. We are not good. But because of Jesus, we can be in God's presence and call God Father. And Jesus shows us deep trust in God with his words. He says, into your hands. Into your hands. Following that phrase, Jesus is going to make a declarative statement about his Spirit. And that statement that we'll get to in just a few moments is a statement to say that needs trust. In order to say what he's about to say, it's a statement that needs trust. And the symbol of trust in this passage of Scripture, in this statement from Jesus, is into your hands. Would you place something of great value into hands that you do not trust? For instance, a precious Christmas ornament made of glass, fragile. Perhaps you have done at your house like we did at our house. You stand and look at the Christmas tree with your hands behind your back. You do not touch. And if the ornament is 5 feet or higher off the ground, it helps as well. You know what I'm talking about. Would you let someone hold your wallet that you do not trust? Would you ladies take off your wedding ring and let someone hold it that you do not trust? Probably most of you wouldn't take it off and let anyone hold it anyway. Would you let someone you do not trust hold a treasured gift? When a romantic relationship becomes serious, you essentially let someone hold your heart in their hands. Would you do that with someone you do not trust? No. No, you wouldn't do any of those things with somebody you did not trust. We find Jesus saying to his Father, into your hands. He says this to the one that he had earlier questioned. more than question, he accused God of forsaking him. He knew God's presence was gone. He was left abandoned and alone. Yet Jesus trusts the Father. His trust of the Father is why he returns to calling him Father. He didn't stay with my God. No, that wasn't his normal address. That wasn't what he would usually say. No, he went back to the normal, to the familiar, to that which was built out of their relationship. His trust of the Father is why he says, into your hands. His trust of his Father is why he can call out, Father, into your hands. He's willing to be in God's hands because he trusts the Father. This says to you and me, we can trust the Father. It does not matter what you face on this evening of Good Friday. You can trust the Father. Irregardless of your circumstance or what's happening in your life, you can trust the Father. It doesn't matter whether your circumstances are related to family or work or health or finances. You can trust the Father. How do I know? How do I know you can trust the Father? You can trust the Father because Jesus did. If Jesus, hanging on a cross, can trust the Father with enough umph to cry out in a loud voice at the end of 6 hours on a cross, you can trust the Father. Jesus is continuing in the same manner of trust by which he has always lived. We see the trust in Jesus at the age of 12 when he was in the temple teaching the teachers, but yet his mom and dad came and he went home to be with Joseph and Mary. We see the trust of Jesus when he was in the wilderness for 40 days, fasting and praying and fellowshipping with his Father as he began his ministry. We see the trust in the Garden of Gethsemane across the Kidron Valley from where he now hangs. It is in the garden he prayed, not my will, but yours be done. We can trust the Father. The last thing that Jesus says is, I commit my spirit. I commit my spirit. Do you want to talk about having a precious treasure that you are willing to place into the hands of someone else? Jesus offers over to the Father his spirit. His trust of the Father is displayed in the word that he uses. It's a word that means to entrust. Jesus commits his spirit to the one that he can trust, not to anyone else. He takes that which is most precious. Spirit is that term which most essentially defines life. Often when we speak of a person's spirit, we are speaking of the very essence of their life. When we talk about them having this great spirit, we're talking about their life and how great it is and how good it is. Why? Because their spirit is that which is most precious. It's their most valuable possession. In whose hands do you want to trust your most valuable possession? Your life. In whose hands do you want to give that to which is of the greatest value? If we're going to follow the lead of Jesus, we give it to the Father. We can place it into the hands of the Father. You place your life into the hands of the Father. For those of you who have given your life to Jesus already as your Savior, you're placing your life into the hands of the Father. It's a great place to be. You can trust His hands. If you haven't done that yet, then I tell you on this night, it's a great place to turn. If you're wondering who you can trust, the example of Jesus tells us you can trust the Father with your life. regardless of all that he had experienced in the previous 18 hours or so, he trusted the Father. Regardless of all that you have had to experience in your life, whatever it may be, maybe some things you have kept from nearly everybody you know. Maybe it seems to be one after another after another. Maybe you look around and you think, well, you know, my life really hasn't had major stuff with it. Irritations here and there. Whatever it may be, whatever level you may feel like you are at dealing with the experiences of life, Jesus shows us you can trust the Father. Jesus breathed his last. Jesus breathed out. That was it. He expired. Medically, that's what would be said. And I spoke to a doctor one day about a person who had passed away, and the doctor chuckled. He said that those in my field find ways to speak of death in softer terms. He said, in his field, we say they expired. And the word Jesus used essentially means he expired. It was over. It was done. Jesus cried out, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.